You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
And it's a proud thing when you get a song done with somebody else and it works, especially if it has some success. It's just really cool to a little pat on your own back, like, man, I did it. Like, I made it work with some other artist other than just my own band that I've had success with.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians to talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you had a glorious weekend. I most certainly did. This episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal is Montreal's premier metal promoter. They put on a bunch of amazing shows throughout the year here in Montreal, but more than that, they also put on one of North America's sickest festivals. And that's the absolute truth. I have played festivals all over the globe, and Heavy Montreal is up there with the best of them. I am more than stoked to have Heavy Montreal behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Super stoked to announce that I have teamed up with Indie Merch Store for the official Vox and Hops merchandise store. You can go to my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com/merch. And you will be taken to my official store where there's a bunch of sick merch available. If you use the promo code VOXHOPS10, that's VOXHOPS10, you will save 10% off of your entire purchase. Do it, people. This is a great way to help support the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'm also asking you to tell a friend about the podcast. If you have a friend that enjoys metal and craft beer, well, suggest that they check out the podcast. That would be something that I would truly, truly appreciate. You can tell them that there are 280 episodes available on their favorite podcast platform for them to go and check out. Now, in today's episode, I'm very happy to be back with Dan Jacobs of Atreyu. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops, episode number 280.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I am back with Dan Jacobs of Atreyu. Dan, very, very stoked to be back with you. Last time we hung out was at Heavy Montreal. It was damn hot.
Yes.
Now it's a different type of situation. We're hanging out remotely, but that's cool. How have you been, Dan?
I've been doing really good. Considering all the craziness over the past year and a half, I've been doing really good. I have no complaints.
That makes me happy to hear that. And I always like to start off with this shitty question so we can move somewhere else and have more fun later. How did you cope with the glorious year that is now behind us of 2020?
It was a combination of things. I mean, on the musical side, we just kind of had to hit the pause button a couple times because we were working on our new record, Baptize. It kind of spaced things out. It stretched the process out a little bit longer than we were planning, but it got done at the end of the day. So it wasn't the worst thing ever. Just got stretched out a little bit, and we had to kind of space out physically and wear masks here and there, and during some of the recording processes, we needed to be around each other just to be safe, but. Aside from that, as I've mentioned to you before, I have a business I do called Rock World Merch, that does a lot of merchandising stuff for bands and brands and all kinds of things. And, trying to run something like that during a pandemic can be a little bit crazy, but, we were very fortunate to turn our efforts towards making, masks as well as importing, different sorts of like medical supplies and whatnot, since we have a lot of capabilities overseas for bringing stuff in. So we just directed all of our efforts towards that, and it allowed us to stay open and stay in business because we were making needed items. And we just kind of rode that wave of trying to just help out in that sense, which helped our business stay afloat until we can kind of normalize again, which we're kind of back at that area now. So it's all good.
That's amazing. I love the hustle. It was for a good cause as well. So when you're hustling to stay alive, keep your business alive for good causes, you get my vote. I always, always, always appreciate that. Cryptopsy, we tried to write remotely for quite some time throughout the pandemic doing these Zoom writing sessions. It was a nightmare. So
it doesn't, it's hard. Even though you're you're sitting there and you're talking to someone, like if they're not, especially when it comes to music, if they're not in the room and you can't like watch each other and feel the music, it's hard to be like, hey man, what do you think of this riff through the recording? It's like, what? I guess that's cool. Yeah, just let's do that, I guess. Like, I don't know. People trying to talk over each other. It just gets weird, you know, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
And then you hear that idea back later and you're like, man, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
That's a horrible idea. And they're like, you loved it. You said it was good.
you were there. Quote unquote.
Vox and Ops is all about hanging out with my metal friends, talking about their live music and craft beer. Now, what are you drinking on your side? You're at work right now, and it's early for you. So what are you drinking right now?
Right now, I'm just drinking some coffee, a brown sugar oat milk coffee.
Very nice. The oat milk.
Yeah, the old oat milk. Yeah, the real milk makes my tummy hurt, so we go oat milk.
Same here.
Yeah, you know.
Same here. I'm a vegan, so all milk fucks me up, especially lactose and beers. This is a very special brew that I'm going to be sharing with you. It's the Saison de Vala from La Gabière, which is a very cool brewery just outside of Montreal here where I'm from. They're doing this whole new experimental. They call it their Inspiration Series. And this is one in particular is an atypical Saison with American hops that has been fermented on a wild Scandinavian yeast. I'm going to crack this. This clocks in 5.3% ABV. Let's talk about your first beer, Dan. Last time we were together, I didn't ask you that question. So I'm curious to hear about the very first beer that you drank.
The very first beer. I mean, the one I remember the most vividly, I guess, would be, it was about 15 years old. And my dad, actually, it was super random. Like, I was out skateboarding and I came inside my house like a mid, you know, summer's day or something like that. And it was real hot and came in. And I was like, oh man, I'm really thirsty. And my dad, for whatever random reason, he's never said this before, was just like, have a beer. I was like, what? Oh, okay. I guess I'll have that. I don't know. I've never really drank much beer before. I don't really know if that's, but I mean, adults seem to make it look pretty good. So I cracked a Coors Light, which is a real popular American, watery beer. But it's, I cracked it open. I took a sip and I didn't enjoy it. I don't think my body and palate was ready for beer yet. It wasn't that time. And Coors Light was not the one, if Coors not. But yeah.
It's still on our rider today because my drummer Flo lives by Coors Light and it's an internal struggle in the band when we're divvying up the budget for beer. So... We always have to leave a little bit on the rider for Flo.
Yeah.
Cheers with a beer to your coffee.
Yeah, cheers.
Ooh, smells amazing. It's got that earthy wildness from the Scandinavian yeast. Very clean, very cool, delicious. Love it. Let's dance into the soundtrack of your youth. When you were growing up in your parents' or guardians' house, what music was playing when you were not in control of the music? What music did your parents or guardians listen to?
I found myself listening to a lot of kind of stuff from the 50s, 60s, 70s even. That's kind of what my parents grew up on. So it was, it would be on it. It's strange as on my dad's side, for instance, my dad's not a music guy at all. He's not musically inclined in any way and not even really a big fan of a ton of music. But when he would put something on, the most vivid thing I would remember was the Kingston Trio. I don't know if you ever heard of the Kingston Trio, but they're a much older group. They're very folky, kind of early Americana folky style, almost country sort of group. And to me, it was always kind of hokey and weird, you know, and but it was very catchy. I mean, I remember myself being very young and the songs sticking in my head pretty well. And to this day, I still remember all the lyrics to a lot of them. And some of them now, listening to them as an adult, I'm like, these are actually some really beautiful songs. These are really well-written songs. And But more so on my mom's side. My mom's the music person in my band. She's always, you know, grew up playing a little bit of guitar and just loving going to concerts. And I definitely get my love for music from my mom. And she, you know, I, whether it be like, our, we had a station called K-Earth 101 that was really popular out here in the, you know, the 80s and 90s and stuff that played stuff from the 50s and 60s. And now it plays 80s music, which is weird to me. That's oldies now. It's
the whole switch.
Yeah, it's just strange. I mean, my band has gotten played on an oldies station.
We're getting old.
Yeah, dude. When your band gets, when we got officially played on a classic rock station out here, I was like, oh man. there's no going back from that. You know?
Hang up the guitar.
Yeah, damn, dude. 1 foot in the grave already. Holy shit. But yeah, a lot of oldie stuff. Short story long. Yeah, I love to this day. I'm a huge fan still, and it's very influential on a lot of the stuff I write, whether it be for Atreyu or even outside of Atreyu for other artists that I write for. I always try to sprinkle a little bit of that classic 50s, 60s vibe in there because it's just so familiar and pretty sounding.
There's a reason why they were big hits, right? So
yeah,
there's nothing wrong with including that. Exactly. What would have been that band that was too much for your parents that just they didn't get it? It was you had to listen to it at a lower volume. Was there a band like that, one of your first loves, that was just too much for your parents?
Not necessarily. My parents were pretty cool when it came to music and stuff. They were very open-minded and didn't really care what I listened to or did or anything in that sense. But I mean, if I had to turn anything down, I mean, probably one of the first crazy things I ever listened to was actually an Exploited album, but not just anyone. There's an album by them called Beat the Bastards, which is like one of the heaviest albums they've ever put out. It's really brutal. It doesn't even really sound like them. It's so heavy in comparison to like their older 80s punk stuff. And that was the first time I ever heard like double bass, and like that was like teetering into metal and like hardcore for me was hearing the Beat the Bastards, especially the first song on there. I mean, the first like few songs on that record are just all rippers. I mean, it's a fucking ripping record. Very underrated record. A lot of people probably don't even know about it, but it's Beat the Bastards. If you haven't heard it for whatever reason, it's a fucking ripping record by the Exploited. But yeah, that was probably the first thing that I had that, like, you know, if I, you know, I'd cranked it up in the car, they'd be like, ah, damn, maybe turn that down a little bit. You know, that's kind of intense.
For me, it was Manson.
Okay.
Antichrist Superstar. My dad just didn't understand it. And I think it was more by the visual aspect of it. It's funny because he was a Cooper fan, but he didn't grasp the bizarreness of what Manson was doing. Take me to your first show. Do you remember the first show that you ever went to go see?
Yeah, first official show I ever went to was a, I guess, concert or whatever. It was a Green Day in 1996.
Really?
On the Dookie tour. Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, I was sitting away up in the bleachers, but we were kind of like pretty close to the edge, you know, maybe like two seats back, in like the back left corner of the arena. I still kind of have like slight like memories of it. I actually went with our now ex-singer Alex, him and myself, and another, I can't remember, one or two friends of ours that were all kind of in the punk rock scene back in the 90s when we were in junior high. We're just huge Green Day fans, and had to go there. I actually remember, even in particular, Alex, you know, this is how ignorant we were at the time, being, you know, 13 years old. He was like, man, there's going to be a lot of punk rockers there, and we need to like dye our hair and we need to dress punk, because if we don't, we're going to get beat up. we're like, oh shit, that's terrifying. I'm like, man, I'm scared to go. I've never been to a show before. I'm really afraid. Like, mm-hmm. I better be really punk or I don't know what's going to happen. So we kind of like sprayed our hair green and like try to look punk or whatever. We didn't know what we're doing, but it worked. We didn't get beat up.
I was also afraid at my first show. It was Korn's Family Value. It was an off date up here in Montreal. It was Orgy, Incubus, and Korn, I believe. I might be forgetting a band, but I was terrified. And I survived. I also did not get beat up. Let's talk about your first time on stage.
First time on stage. Like an actual stage or just playing a show?
Just playing a show. We'll build our way up.
I guess the first actual performance that I ever did was in a backyard. It was when, before Atreyu was called Atreyu, we were called Retribution. And this was from like 1996, 1997.
So it's close to that Green Day show. When you were at the Green Day show, were you already a band? Were you already imagining that one day that would be you on that stage?
Alex and I were already playing. We were already jamming together and trying to like get something going, but we hadn't gotten anything just yet. And, you know, we soon met Brandon after. We met him through his older brother, Ryan. But we played our first show. We were a three-piece originally. It was Brandon, Alex, and myself. Alex played bass and sang. It was in this backyard of this girl. Her name was Emily Bridgeford, and she lived in Yorba Linda. And, I remember it was us and another band called Trust 31 that was like a local band that, like, to us, we were like, oh shit, they were like a, you know, a big, very local band. Like, not, they were never got anywhere, but they locally, like, we knew the name. If you were in bands, you knew all the other bands' names. And we, like, heard of Trust 31. We're like, oh, man, like, we're opening for Trust 31 at this backyard party. It's going to be sick. it was awesome. I mean, the show, we were terrible. I mean, we were absolutely terrible, and we could barely play our songs. But, you know, we got through it in one way or another.
Those early moments, those they're always horrible most of the time. Most of the people I ask are horrible.
Yeah.
The experiences were horrible, but the memories, that feeling of being and performing for that very first time are there forever.
Yeah.
You better give a guest list to Emily for life, right? Has she come up to shows in the future?
No, I haven't seen her in years. She had an older sister too. That Emily was actually one of our singer Brandon's like earlier crushes when we were back in that time. So there was a lot of incentive for him to, you know, to impress back then, you know, rocking her house, you know. But yeah, I haven't seen her in a long time.
She better be impressed now.
Yeah, I wonder if she'll hear this interview somehow and be like, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe they're still talking about me."
How about your last show? Do you remember the last show you saw before everything closed down?
It was my own show, I guess. We were playing in Australia in March. For earlier months, it was right. It was probably like a month before everything got shut down because we were just getting ready to go back out to do something else, and then we were like, I guess we're not. Yeah, Australia was the last thing that we got to do. We did a few shows over there, some headlining shows. They were really fun.
It's always fun. How have you been filling the void? For myself, I do these interviews. The moments before I sit down right here to connect with an artist, I'm always worried, am I prepared enough? Is he going to connect? Are we going to connect? Is it going to work? That is how I've been filling the void of performing on stage. How have you been filling that void?
For me, it's just, I guess, writing with other people. You know, that's kind of a way to get like a sensation out. You know, because I mean, it's fun, you know, writing for Trey, but you know, with a Trey, we only write before record time, where that's when we might have ideas that we've been saving away, but we don't really go into full writing mode until then. So in that downtime, you know, usually a record cycle could be anywhere from 1 to 3 years, depending on how well the record does. In that downtime, I just try to fill it with, you know, aside from doing my other businesses and stuff, with writing with other people, because it's fun writing music for other bands and other types of music. Because, you know, with Atreyu, we have, you know, we like to go all over the place musically, you know, to keep it interesting for ourselves and for fans and whatnot. But we can all, there's still some boundaries, you know, we can only go so far in certain directions before it gets a little bit too weird. So I can kind of scratch those itches and get those needs out to play other styles of music and write other styles of music by working with other artists, which is a really fulfilling experience. Anybody who's, you know, a songwriter yourself, if you've ever not co-written with other people, I highly recommend it. It's, you know, you learn a lot from other people. You create recipes that you otherwise would never have by working with other people. And it's really fun. It's a really rewarding experience. Sometimes it can get weird. It's like dating. Sometimes it can be really weird and it doesn't go so well. But in most cases, it's a very rewarding experience.
That's cool. How does this all come about? How do you solicit them? Do they solicit you? For myself, I get hit up all the time to do these guest vocal spots, but they want Matt from Cryptopsy. They want me to do the gutturals. They want the screams. For you, it's something completely different. They want your songwriting capabilities. So how do you hook up with these people?
There's a combination of ways. I mean, some of it's through our publishing company, through BMG. You just, when you get involved with them, with any publishing company, I'm sure when you get involved, one of the first things you do is you let them know how much you're interested in doing. You know, if you just wanted to keep it as simple as just give me publishing on my, with the, like, for instance, Atreyu, like just give me publishing on my Atreyu stuff. I don't care other than that. Just leave me alone. I'm just going to live my life, you know, do whatever.
Yeah.
Another option is you can, you know, make it known that you are interested in songwriting with people of, you know, whatever type it is. And, you know, they'll connect you with other like artists and bands and stuff, and you get to go in with them and write some stuff. And sometimes it gets used, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it gets chopped up so much by the time once you you write the song with them and you turn it in, and then they go to their producer and their manager and their other band members, and everybody kind of puts their 2 cents in. What spits out the other side is so different than what you started with, but you can hear where, you know, some of the elements that you brought to the table are in there. There's all kinds of things that come from it, but it's Sometimes it's very organic too. Sometimes it's just something where it's like a friend or something. Like, there's dudes I know in bands where I'm like, you know, if I'm a fan of their band one way or another, whatever they do, I might hit them up and say, hey, like, you know, especially if it's a style of music that's not like mine, because that it's a harder sell being in a rock metal band and trying to go, hey, you're in a reggae band, can I write you a reggae song? Or, hey, you're a pop artist, you mind if I do something with you? They're like, what are you going to do with me? But I've been recording stuff in all different, you know, styles so that I can, you know, present people with things where it's like, hey, check out this me doing a reggae song to a reggae artist. And they're like, oh, well, this is good. I didn't know you could do this. It's like, yeah, we should write together. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, yeah, now that you've sold me by sending me this song, I'm now more enticed to work with you. Whereas, you know, right now, like through BMG, for instance, the majority of the things that they set me up with are like rock groups, you know? You know, it's usually, you know, it'll be, yeah, just things that are kind of like Atreyu or in the active rock world.
Are you allowed to talk about who? Something that's come out? Has anything come out that you can talk about that you haven't?
Yeah.
Or is it like a secretive thing that you sign away?
Some stuff. It just depends, you know. You keep it on the DL just because you don't know if the song's going to go anywhere, do anything, and it's kind of, you want to go like kind of prematurely talking about stuff. But, you know, we did a song with Hyro the Hero, actually. I did a couple songs with him.
Very cool.
This was a couple years ago. It was actually probably like 2 years ago. It was a little while ago now. Myself and our other guitar player, Travis, worked on this. We did two songs with him, and one of them got used, but the name of it changed, and it's it just sounds a lot different than what we originally did. But you can hear the elements that we brought in originally there, and then our singer Brandon for Atreyu actually ended up doing guest vocals on it in the end, so it kind of ended this full Atreyu experience on there. But it's a song called Legendary that that Hyro the Hero just released not too long ago. That's probably the most recent thing that I've worked on that's come out. Yeah, I mean, it's things of such, you know. That's, things like that are what we end up working with.
Absolutely. Is this like something that could end up being like a after Atreyu career for you to keep you still involved in the music industry?
Absolutely. I mean, it's something, it's just really fun. It's one of those things that just, it just doesn't feel like work at all. You know, like I really enjoy doing every aspect of it, and, you know, any opportunity to get to work with another artist and just keep writing music is awesome. And just in general, like for an artist, if you want to have just another avenue to make as much money off your music as possible, so that you can sustain off your music, writing with a lot of other artists and getting a little bit of that publishing, a little bit of the you know, ownership of the songs, even if the bands aren't big, you know, if you just write a lot and you do it with so many different artists, you have, it's like, you know, like buying stocks. You know, if you buy 100 different stocks, some of them might not make you a lot of money, some might make you a shitload of money, or maybe all of them just make you a little bit of money, but collectively you make enough where you can sustain maybe just a little bit or in a really nice, comfortable way. But it's really beneficial and advantageous as an artist, if you can, if you're of the songwriting type, because not every artist is a songwriter. Some people are more of the performers.
That's correct.
And are looking for people to write them a song, and then they go and they perform it, and that's what they're good at, you know? Whereas there's some songwriters that are not good performers, you know? And then you get some people that can do a little bit of all of it, you know? There's all different breeds in the music world, but yeah, that's one way I'd like to, you know, add some more supplemental income, just because it's a really fun way to do it, you know? And it's a, you know, a proud thing when you get a song done with somebody else and it works, especially if it has some success. It's just really cool to, like, you know, a little pat on your own back, like, man, I did it. Like, I made it work with some other artist other than just my own band that I've had success with.
That's right. That's right. And you know, the rap artists have been doing this for years, realizing the cross collaboration, the ghostwriting, the just getting a little bit of that publishing.
Yeah.
I'm happy that more people in rock and metal are going to start doing this. It's a very, very smart endeavor.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hopsheads? I just want to take a little moment about Cryptopsy's upcoming tours. That's right. I'm talking about the Scream of Perseverance tour and our headliner dates that coincide with that tour called As Summer Burns. The Scream of Perseverance tour is kicking off at the end of May and runs all the way until the end of June. We are supporting the mighty Death to All. We are going all over the United States, and we are hitting some of Canada. So excited to be honoring the legendary music of Death alongside amazing musicians that performed on these albums. even more stoked to be doing some headliner dates in some cities that I've actually never played in. If you are planning to come to any of these shows, you should definitely grab your tickets by going to voxandhops.com/summer, and you will be able to grab all of your tickets there. That's voxandhops.com/summer. Do it, people. Come hang out with me. Enjoy life, metal, and craft beer in your hometown. Come to a show. We're going to have a great time. Now, enough about all of that. Let's get back to the episode. Let's talk about Baptize. Came out June 4th via Spine Farm. Pandemic release. Talk me through this. For Cryptopsy, we've been talking a lot about if we were ready to release an album, which we are sadly not, but if we were, we'd probably have a big internal discussion about whether we should hold on to it or whether we should drop it until we could tour properly. Now, touring is coming back now, but was there a discussion like that for this album for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, for us, you know, everything's been kind of thrown off because last year we were going to be writing the record, and by end of 2020, early 2021, we were going to be back on the road, dropping it, touring it, the whole shebang. But because everything happened, everything got pushed up, put on pause, and all these tours or things that were supposed to happen got scooted back at the very earliest a year. Now, with that being said, because all those things were scooted back, a lot of opportunity that we were looking to have in 2021, like, immediately got pulled off the table because we're like, oh man, we weren't, like, when we, like, you know, we weren't planning on doing anything last year, so it didn't matter. But all those things that we, all those events last year that we weren't involved with and didn't care about being involved with because we were going to be writing a record got moved to this year. And now we're like, man, exactly. Now it's like hard to get on those events because they're already booked because they were set for last year. And you're like, oh crap, like that kind of throws off the game a little bit. You know, we kind of have to work around that situation, which has been okay. You know, like we've managed to get on a few festivals and, you know, we're hoping to do a tour at some point in time, whether it be the end of this year or early next year sometime. But I don't know, it's another thing too, like we're so excited and we have momentum going with what we're doing with our new album, and especially with our parting ways with our original singer Alex, there's a lot of, you know, expectations from us and a lot of, I don't know, excitement for us, like if, you know, this is going to be the new Atreyu, like what, you know, let's get the party started, you know, let's get that new era and chapter started. We just want to get it out there and let the world hear it and do it. And so, you know, we figured, you know what, we can kind of just slow drip this album out, you know, as much as we can. We don't want to be ridiculous about it, but we kind of dropping singles or individual songs here and there every month or so, just to kind of give people a little bit more and more fresh music and more of a taste to slowly digest what they're going to get when they get the new record. Then putting it out and trying to just stay, you know, with, you know, the time we have between now and doing stuff live again, which is, you know, only like 3-4 months away. It's not too far away. You know, we just kind of,
it's much closer than it was, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's much closer now, you know, so we feel a lot more comfortable. You know, ideally, you know, as you were mentioning, if you're in a band, ideally you want to be touring when your record drops, so you have the most eyes on you. It's the most advantageous time to be dropping records when you're on a tour. Especially at the beginning of a tour or something where you just, you know, it's not the tour just ended and then you drop a record or something, you know. But
you need that momentum.
Yeah, you want that momentum. You want everything, all cylinders firing at the same time, all wheels going at the same time. That's the best way to have a chance of getting your music out there. So, you know, we're just kind of, you know, just going with the flow of, you know, screw it, let's put it out. Let's just get it out now. And it's not too far away from touring and things are going back to normal. So, we're just going to keep the plan as that and hope for the best.
That's all we can do. That's all we can do. Just about like a whole lineup switch. You got Kyle on drums now. Brandon's up in the front, not on the drums. How was that experience like for him, not recording drums for an Atreyu album?
He actually did the drums on this album.
Did he? Oh, that makes sense. I would expect that too.
Yeah, and even in future records, I mean, I'm sure he'll still... I don't think it'll be something where Kyle tracks everything per se. Just because Brandon is an incredible drummer and he's really talented in the studio. I mean, he's played drums on, you know, other bands' records and stuff like that, of bands and songs that are pretty notable in the past, you know, 10 years. Because he is really good in the studio. And he works very fast. He's really good. So with that being said, you know, it might be a thing if he has an idea, he'll just jump in there and be like, Kyle, you know, it'll go like this. And Kyle's like, okay, that's cool. It's laid down now, you know, which is fun in the studio. It's fun to have everybody, like, jump in and we switch stuff up. I mean, sometimes, you know, we, you know, switch up playing, whether it be a percussion instrument or singing or to do harmonies or who's playing guitar on something. Like, it's literally not like this is, you know, Dan needs to play this riff or Travis needs to play this riff. It could, or even Brandon, whoever. It could just be who feels like it's literally in the studio. Who feels like playing this riff right now? Who wants to record this? But like, Travis, I recorded the last one. You record this one. I'm like, all right. It's literally works like that these days. We just kind of all chip in and just get it done, you know, just as long as the album sounds great. That's the end of the main focus. But yeah, this is the first record. You know, we did some songs without Alex at the very end. He was a part of the writing process as well. For the lyrics, for the most part, that's kind of where he would bring stuff to the table, is more lyrically. Yeah, I mean, I think there's about four songs on the album that we wrote without Alex. And once Alex was not with the band anymore, we wrote without him. But yeah, other than that, everything's, I don't know. Things are a little bit different, I guess. I guess we're probably heading into that part of the question. But yeah, Brandon, you know, Brandon vocally has had to step up a little bit more. You know, whether it be screaming or even just singing some of the parts where it would normally be Alex. Some of those parts have also been filled by Porter, our bass player. He, you know, he's got an incredible, brutal scream. If you've heard any of the four songs we've released so far, they're all, you know, give a good representation of what he's bringing to the table. As well, he's a familiar voice that's been on our records since 2006, since Death Grip. So it's not an unfamiliar sound coming to our recipe. And then even myself, I sing a little bit on this record on a song called Stay. I sing the bridge, like a lead vocal, as well as my nice. Brandon and myself go back on and forth on a lead vocal at the end of Stay. It's a different type of song. And, you know, the bridge, as we were talking about before, I'm a big fan of 50s, 60s music. And there was a melody that I had for the bridge of that song that was very kind of in that vibe. And we all took turns singing it just to see who made the most sense. You know, Porter, myself, Brandon, even Travis. It was just like, everybody get in, take a stab at it.
So cool.
Whatever has the right vibe. In our band, we don't have egos or anything when it comes to like, I gotta have this part or anything. It's all about what's best for the song. Like, whatever's best for the song, that's what we're gonna do. And in this case, my voice worked on it, and I was like, man, I've never sang on an Atreyu record before other than just doing like harmonies or group vocals and things like that.
Yeah, chance, yeah.
But, you know, I got to, you know, we figure if we're going to be going in a slight different direction with Alex not being in the band, you know, we have to fill that void with other things, you know? So we're like, we could just try to fill it with the exact same thing, or we could just add some other new elements in there and experiment a little bit more and do things we wouldn't have done or couldn't have done in the past.
It's 2021. You know, limits are behind us.
Yeah.
You guys can do anything you want as long as it stays within that realm of Atreyu.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really, really, and you guys know what Atreyu is. So just be free, be creative. I think it's super cool. Everything I've heard is heavy, catchy as fuck. You got some killer guests on this record. You got Travis Barker, Matt Heafy, Jacoby from Papa Roach. How easy was it for to get all these guests because of the pandemic, because everyone was at home?
So luckily with technology, you know, with Matt in particular, because he lives in Florida, you could just track stuff. He'd just track at his house or wherever, and they just send us the files and we just drop it in, edit them accordingly or add effects on them, whatever we need to do to make it flow with the song. And there you go, you know? So like, that part wasn't too difficult. That song in particular, we'd already written, so we didn't need to collaborate too much on like writing or anything. It was more so, here's this song, here's the parts and the lyrics, do your thing. So you add your flavor, and this is kind of the cadence we're looking for, something like this. And then they just kind of do their thing. With Jacoby, Jacoby and Brandon crossed paths at a, like a house, you know, hangout or whatever. I think Papa Roach was locally in town working on a record or something, and Brandon went just to go hang out with him for a bit. And it, you know, it was freshly after Alex had parted ways with the band. So they were kind of talking about that a little bit, and somehow it came up where Jacoby was like, man, dude, let me get on a song, dude. I'd love to do a song with you guys. So we're like, all right, you know, Brandon was like, all right, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to take you up on that. And he did, you know. So we actually were able to have him come up to the studio and actually get in there with John Feldman and Brandon and stuff and do his parts. So we can kind of, you know, guide him, you know, to get what we need out of him. But at the end of the day, Jacoby is such a legend. Like, he's like, he puts 150% into everything that he does. You know, if he's going to put his name on something, like, he puts the fuck out of his name on it, you know? And it's really cool. It's really, it added an energy to the song that was, you know, we were trying to achieve, and it was there for the most part. But once you brought him in, it was like, oh, okay. Like, that was like, that just took it to another level that we didn't realize we could take the song to. So it's incredible, dude. Incredible guy, really incredible artist. And then Travis Barker was the only one that we didn't personally know, but he works a lot with John Feldman, who produced our last two records and our Lead Sales Paper Anchor record in 2007. So John Feldman works very closely with Travis, as well as his, you know, does Blink-182 stuff. So we even wrote a song, or a couple songs. We did three songs with Mark Hoppus. Two of them made the record.
Really? That's so cool.
Yeah. One of them being Sabotage Me. So if you kind of listen to the verses, they sound... Picture Mark Hoppus singing the verses, and you'll be like, oh, okay, this is kind of Blink-182-ish. Yeah, Travis Barker, you know, he's always been someone that we've looked up to as just... He's one of those people that's like the perfect storm of all kinds of things. I mean, he's incredibly talented at his instrument in unique ways, which is one of the reasons why we got him as well. His whole like snare drum line ability is incredible, and that's something that you see it pop up here and there with stuff he does, but it's not one of the main things people ask him to do. So we were really enticed by that, like wanting to use that element of his that was not as tapped into as a lot of other things. Like, a lot of people just have him like just play drums on the song. They're like, the whole drum track is all Travis Barker, which is awesome. Don't get me wrong. Like, we would love to have that too. That's very cool. But we're like, we can't do that. We need to do something different. So via John Feldman, and also Travis Barker, who lives in the same neighborhood as he lives like down the street from John, as well as I think his girlfriend, the Kardashian, whatever. I think they all live in Calabasas. They all live in that area. So it's very conveniently located for a lot of these successful people to just work together and do incredible projects very conveniently. So he hit up Travis Barker and was like, hey, these guys are doing a record here with me. Like, do you have any interest in doing this, you know? And luckily he said yes, and he came down and we presented the idea of what we wanted to do over the bridge of our song Warrior, which is kind of our current like single we're pushing right now. We wanted the song in general to feel like a football game, sports event, you know, just go for the glory, make you feel like, you know, a sporting event anthem. So with that being said, the bridge of the song, we wanted to go with something that feels like a big football game, huge drum core thing going on. And that's what that is. And that's what we brought him in to do his kind of snare drum thing over the whole bridge.
That's super sick. And he is a killer drummer.
Killer drummer.
Touring with Flo Mounier, who is one of the world's most renowned death metal drummers. He gives nothing but praise to Travis Barker. So killer, killer drummer, and an excellent choice for your album. Let's talk about, what has the best part of COVID been for you?
Man, honestly, my businesses outside of the band have been flourishing because of the need for people to go online more. So with that being said, all the online stores that we run have been doing really well as we started a fulfillment company at the beginning of the whole thing, just, you know, out of the need to fulfill a lot of the merch company clients we have. They have a lot of bands that come through us. We print for almost any band you can think of at some point in time gets printed here.
That's so cool.
So with that being said, you know, we wanted to make it more convenient for them and ship their stuff out instead of them shipping it to a fulfillment center, you know, somewhere far away. We're like, hey, like, if we just set up camp right here, like, we could just take it off the press and just straight next door and just ship your stuff out. It'll save you time and money. And they're like, okay. And that turned out so good that it started just snowballing, and they just started unloading clients on us to do this, to where we ended up, you know, tripling the size of the company in just a matter of a year and a half. A lot of it because of everything going online. So they're the need for that fulfillment became much greater. So we just happened to ride that wave, and it's allowed us to grow our business and, you know, kind of, you know, get the bigger picture started.
Very, very cool. Let's two more questions. One of them being, if you could make an Atreyu beer, have you guys done this before?
Yeah.
I don't believe you have.
You have.
Okay, talk to me about this beer that you've made, please, and how it came to be and what brewery made it, please.
Okay, so we did a beer with Noble Aleworks. This was a few years ago. If you Google Atreyu beer, Noble Aleworks, I'm sure a picture or something will come up. The artwork is really awesome. So it's, the beer is called Superhero, and it was this juicy double IPA. It was orange. The flavor was just orange because we wanted it, since the whole theme of Superhero was a song we had on our last record, In Our Wake. It's called Superhero, and the song, our singer at the time, Alex, was, he's a really big fan of like classic comic books, like 1940s comic books, like World War II era stuff. He really loved all that stuff. So the whole concept was, let's make a beer called Superhero, where on the can, it's all of us as members of the band depicted as 1940s comic book characters. So it's a very colorful can.
That's bad.
And the flavor of orange, we went with orange, one, because we're from Orange County, but two, like, we wanted it to be like, since we're going to this classic comic book, we wanted to go with like classic American, like, you know, strong superhero breakfast. I don't know. We're like, let's go with oranges. Just something about drinking your orange juice. You know what I mean? It's good. It's vitamin C. You know, like, you want to be a superhero, drink your orange juice. You know, that has, to me, that's this really nostalgic classic thing about it. So we're like, let's make a really big, you know, orange beer. It's just a really big orange. It feels like a big, thick, hoppy, glass of orange juice kind of thing. So that's
awesome.
What we went with. They came in, it came in like bigger size. I don't know if they were 24-ounce cans. They were like maybe like 16-ounce cans or something like that. But it was really cool. And we're actually talking right now. I don't want to say with who or what yet, but we are in the talks of doing hopefully another beer here soon with a different brewery.
Very cool. That's exactly where I was going. I was going to, you can get a baptized beer brew going for this release. That would be super sick to match up with a future single.
Yeah. Something of the sort.
Very, very, very cool. One last question. It probably doesn't happen to you because you're very, very busy writing songs for Atreyu, for other artists. You run a successful merch company and a fulfillment company, but every once in a while it happens to everyone. What is your hangover cure?
Oh, man. Just trying to pound a whole bunch of water and just hydrating yourself, just trying to level that hydration back out. But there's always the, if shit gets really bad, you know, you pop a couple Advil or something and drink some Pedialyte. Pedialyte's a classic Dimebag, Daryl, Pantera move from back in the day. They were very vocal about talking in interviews about how if you got a really bad hangover or something, you just pound some Pedialyte. Because if you don't know what Pedialyte is, for anybody out there that's listening to this, it's stuff that's typically used for children to help them rehydrate themselves when they're having issues, if you're younger, with maybe vomiting or diarrhea or things of the such. Maybe they got too much sun, whatever it may be. If they're dealing with being underhydrated, it's got a lot of electrolytes and things of the such. It's very concentrated. So if you need to get feeling better really quick, pounding some Pedialyte definitely can help you get there quicker.
Absolutely. Is this something that you guys have stocked on the tour bus?
Not as much these days. You know, we don't, we still drink and stuff, but like, not like we did when we were in our 20s and we're just maniacs.
We wake up at Walmart all the time anyways.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Dan, thank you so much for taking the time talking about your life, metal, and craft beer. I truly appreciate it. Everyone get ready. Baptized, dropped on June 4th via Spine Farm. Check it out. Thank you, Dan, so much. This was great. Cheers.
Cool. Thank you. Cheers.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right today, and you know that I love and appreciate that. Man, was I ever happy to reconnect with Dan. Last time we did it at Heavy Montreal, and it was a very short interview because of the time slots that we were given at the festival. It's just the way it is. I'm very happy that I had a longer conversation with Dan. I love how he hustles and has a business sense in the music industry. I love that. It's something that I think a lot more musicians should explore. We should all be taking some notes from what Dan has accomplished. Thank you so much, Dan, for hanging out with me once again. I truly, truly appreciated that. If you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can do that on my website, voxandhops.com. That's voxandhops.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. So do me a favor, sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list, because there's just so much going on, I would hate for you to miss a single thing. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. I have two more episodes coming up this week, one on Thursday and another on Friday. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops heads.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.